And hello and welcome to the first episode of Underhive Lawkeepers. I am Spamil by name, and with me tonight are my co-hosts, Nathan.
Hello.
Andy.
Howdy, howdy.
And Ned Lee.
G'day, bud. How you doing?
I'm always good, dude. Yourself?
Yeah, just...
Don't ask if we don't get it.
Nice and easy. This is our episode zero. And the first thing we want to cover is, who are we? Why are we here? Why are we doing this podcast? Nathan, jump into it first, mate.
I'm here because I love the game. I love Games Workshop. I'd have to say I love everything related to it. But Necromunda holds a special place in my heart. Love the miniatures, love the game, love the lore. And I just feel like it's a place that we can chat and talk about all the things we normally would, but with other people able to join in on the conversation as well.
And how did you get into the hobby here? So what brought you to Necromunda?
What brought me? Well, so I remember the first release of Necromunda way back in the 90s, I think it was. And at that stage, I was a young fella, so no money to play Necromunda. So I sort of didn't jump on board until the late 2000s release, or 2017 release, I think it was. But what got me on board there, first and foremost, is love the miniatures, especially the Escher gang. So when I first saw them in that plastic kit, I was like, that's it. That's it for me. I have to buy these miniatures just to own them. And then having bought that box game, I really delved into the lore of it as well. And I was just completely hooked.
100%, dude, right there with you. Andy, yourself, you know, why are you here? How did you get into this hobby?
I was walking past the Games Workshop store many moons ago, and I liked the old Warhawk Rider, and that from that point on, I became completely addicted to all games Games Workshop. From that point on, I had a mate who invited me over one night. He was having friends over to play this game called Necromunda, and it probably would have been in the early 2000s. And from that point on, I was addicted with the progression and that things could die and you weren't just playing one-off games. And that overall, that it was worthwhile. Every moment you put into your game, well, you got something back out of it. So, yeah, that's why I got addicted to it.
Beautiful. And Nedley, yourself?
Well, I was in primary school, funnily enough, when it started. I was about 11 and a half, something like that. A few guys came in with a few models, started playing games on the floor, asked me to join in, got really interested, told me about a shop, went there, had a look. Funnily enough, that's actually where I met Andy, you know, talking 20 years ago now. Basically, Andy was involved in selling me my first model, and I've been hooked ever since. I've loved every part of the game. I've played nearly every game that's come out. I've just absolutely loved it and been drawn in, first of all, by the game, especially growing up. But as I've gotten older, I've started to appreciate the lore a lot more and what the universe has to offer.
Yeah, beautiful. And, well, myself, I'm exactly the same as you guys. Got into the hobby, seeing models that a mate was using. Went into Games Workshop and just fell in love, especially Necromunda, because it wasn't just, yeah, two armies facing off against each other, doing the, I kill your guys, you kill my guys, all right, I win, you win, game over, that's cool, everyone comes back the next game. It was, yeah, you know, oh, this guy died, or this guy's broken his leg, or this girl here, she's only got one arm now. There's so much more to it.
I think that's the thing. It really is a war game, first and foremost, that we all know and love. But secondly, there is a massive RPG element to it. And I think that's the draw for all of us. I think we can all agree that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like my biggest sort of thing with it is what I can draw from playing. I played umpteen amounts of Mordheim and, I get the same kick out of Necromunda as I did Mordheim, and that was what drew me to Necro as well. I'll just say something, though, that all of us have talked about going into that store and being just completely immersed in it, completely enamored with everything that we see in the store. And it just says something for how important, how good those Games Workshop stores, like, I don't know, haven't been in one for a while, but how good they were back in the day. But yeah, for me, playing games where there is a continuation of your character, you still remember the character name of a model that you had from like 10, 15 years ago in some gang or some group that you had because they suffered an injury or did something amazing in one of your games.
Or they fell 9 inches and killed your gang leader because of an impact hit. You know, it's those sort of things.
Even better, they fell 9 inches and killed the other gang leader from the other side.
And that's the thing. It's those little memories and those little events that I remember every bad game of Necromunda I've ever played because it wasn't...
Have you ever had a good one?
Oh, mate, absolutely. But that's the thing. I remember every bad game of Necromunda because it wasn't bad for me. It was bad for my model. I loved it. I loved Andy, of all people, shooting Lajuve and him falling 9 inches and killing my own gang leader. I thought that was hilarious. And that's why I play Necromunda. And you guys, it sounds like the same, where it's because every model is living its own story. Every single game of every single campaign.
No, so that's bang on. You're creating small little short stories every time you play. And you can get that with your army when you're playing 40K or fantasy or whatever thing you're having. You might have a sergeant that does something, but there's just something so much more personal when you've picked the weapon that you want for this particular model, and then you've had to pick the pathway they take within that game, and they manage to pull up something magical, and it's all down to the dice rolling, but it just creates this little moment in time, this little story that just locks and stays with you.
And that's exactly it, Nathan. There's so much that's been put into this game over the last 30-odd years, where, be it either from the community or obviously the official GW sources, there's so much written. Novels, rule books, supplements, and it shows that Necromunda is this beautiful microcosm of the 40K universe at itself, where if you can genuinely imagine how it would exist on the planet of Necromunda, it has its own place. And nigh on everyone on the greater 40K scale is present at Necromunda in some way, shape, or form, be it Tau traders, Eldar ambassadors, squat miners, the Drukhari show up. You know, obviously we have the Imperium as its whole and the existence of humanity being the base of everything about it. And that's the thing that can get so overwhelming, not in regards to just the rules of it, but how do I bring what I envision in Necromunda to life on the table? And that's something we want to bring to our audience, where we can say to them, we want to be able to simplify how you can find this information and what some of this information actually means. This brings us to a question I've got for each of you here. Of all the things you personally know about Necromunda, what is your favorite piece of Necromunda lore?
Friends don't let friends spire.
See, I'm going to have to go the opposite of that. From way back in the day, they were always, like, other than the Escher, they were always my favorite because they does say a lot, doesn't it? Just this absolute disregard for the populace. Like, what are we doing for this weekend? We get down there. We're just going to kill a couple of the scummers down there. You know, there's this real elitist level to them that I'm just like, yeah, you guys are cool. I get it. I'll never be one of you, but I get it.
I'm pretty sure they're just...
And that Nathan's life story, anytime you want to answer the question now.
I was just thinking that.
But you know what? Pretty sure that Spire are just now in the Underhive, basically.
The Tau Empire. Well, yeah, there's the old concept that so many Tau words are actually the same as the different Spire hunting regs.
Right.
They were actually Tau words. And you go into some of the old background lore in that, and it's it was believed
Oris, I think is the one
that,
I remember. Oris?
Yeah, Oris, and I think was it Jakara?
It means mirror.
Yeah. It talks about how it was believed that Tau sort of smugglers or rogue traders were bringing Tau technology across to Necromunda. And that's who was giving it to the Spira hunters.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're just, so I mean, obviously it's come about since the introduction of the Tau into the 40K universe, yeah. But it's a beautiful, like, tie in as well. But I know we've still got to talk about Nedley's what his favorite bit is, but there is something majestic about the Spire as well, where you've got every other gang slopping it out, not like, you know, just doing their basic stuff, and then you've got the Spire, just absolute mongrels within that, and I love that about them. It's horrible, but I love it about them.
That's the biggest thing. Anywhere you look on Necromunda, there is a drawback to 40K in some way, shape, or form, and it's deliberately in there to draw people from the 40K universe over to play the game, to draw people from this game over to the 40K universe.
How
far do you want to expand called? This? Like,
there's the Necromunda 8th Spiders.
Spiders, that's right.
The then there's the Necromunda 9th, I think it's Switchblades?
But there's also
we're a lore podcast and I can't remember my lore.
There's a penal regiment as well, isn't there, Sam?
There is a penal regiment. There's also a Space Marine Legion. Well, chapter on there as well.
Not the Imperial Fists.
Yep.
Is it? Really? Righto.
There is. Their Fortress Monastery. We'll get into it later on, but their Fortress Monastery is on Necromunda.
Oh, right.
I mean, yeah. there's orcs there at the Skull. You've got all the races that we know. I mean, this is actually a perfect tie into my favorite piece of lore. I've only just learnt this in the last couple of weeks. And that's about the Squats and how the Squats actually tie into the Leagues of Votan. And that's something that comes back to what I was saying about there's something in there for 40K players, but then it also draws those 40K players across. Hey, look, you know, Leagues of Votan are over here. I mean, there's a Votan ancestor core on the planet. Cool. There's some history that can connect the two separate games, separate universes, all under that one umbrella together. And that to me is just really good writing.
I guess the Gene Sealer cult helps pull that in as well. So that's another one that leads into that.
So we've got, you know, Andy's favorite piece of lore is that there's Tau. Nedley's favorite piece of lore is that there's Squats. Nathan's favorite piece of lore is
kill the hobos.
That says that, yeah, it's just murder hobos. Well, I've got two.
Of course you do.
The first, yeah, of course I do. It's my podcast, shut up. the first is something I knew, and I've actually mentioned it to Andy, I can't remember, a while ago, and then someone brought it up on the Sumpsy Radio Discord, that the poles of Necromunda are frozen, and there's literally hives in basically like the North Centaurus pole that are surrounded by snow. So even on the ruined planet of Necromunda, you can literally still make snow angels, which I just think is magical. Like, everyone talks about grim dark, but no one talks about grim snow angels. And the second is that, like, this is from a Warhammer community article where, a bunch of Imperial Guard regiments accidentally got sent Phansar las guns, and they were saying to them, oh, just make sure you give them back. They're too good for you. And this was supposed to be just like a little accident. It's like, yeah, we've given you a las gun that actually works. And they're embarrassed by that because they're not supposed to have them.
Wait, but who's embarrassed by it? The guard or the
Munitorum?
Oh, right.
The Munitorum's like, you're not supposed to have these. So, these are for people.
But how did the Minotaurum get the las guns?
So Necromunda is one of the largest producers and providers of weapons for the Astra Militarum. Apart from the tithe of men and women, they produce weapons. And it's one of their big things. And I'm guessing someone, you know, crossed a T and dotted an I backwards, and they sent them Vansar las guns that were supposed to go to some private militia, and instead they went to some, you know, Imperial Guard regiment who should just be happy with their standard weapons.
You know what? That breaks my heart to think that the Guard aren't as well equipped as the Vansar, but anyway.
As the glorious and mighty House of Vansar, you know, why would they be?
So, because they're the
Guard. I just keep thinking of the difference between, you know, a handheld torch and a full-blown hunting spotlight.
So I'm going to pose a random question out of here. If we were from a house gang, what house gang would we be from?
Would we actually be? Would we want to be from?
Ooh, both.
Ooh, let's go both.
If we want to be from a house, we are all from no house. We are slaves or food. Right.
No.
Hang on. I could be a unborn Goliath.
I could be just a straight up Goliath.
You're not that muscular.
Oh, come on, mate. No. It's just...
no.
I could.
All right, fine. You'd be a Natborn. You wouldn't be a Batborn, that's for sure.
And what do you want to be part of, Sam?
Oh, there's only one house on Necromunda, mate. It is Vansar. I mean, you know, give me the fancy suit and cool techno dreadlock. I'm down with it.
I would have to say, I do believe I'd probably just be an Orlok, as all of us probably would be, because you'd be accepted in some way, shape, or form. But if I wanted to be part of a certain house, just because I love them so much, I'd probably go Escher. Like, I could pass.
Oh, you'd be a man, Vince.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd already be dead.
No, I'd like change my gender. I'd be known as a they or them or whatever I need to be.
Right.
And then I'd be part of the Escher gang.
Okay.
I'm sticking with Goliath. Bang. Done.
Wow. I think I'd be an Orlok. And I think I'd want to be an Orlok.
It sounds more like a hive scum who wants to be an Orlok.
Wow.
Same thing. Come on, the Orlok aren't even a real house anyway. Fight me. All right.
Fighting words.
This is a little bit outside of lore, but what is your favorite Necromunda model?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Escher with a heavy stubber, original metal one.
Oh. Yes.
Absolute beast of a miniature.
Yeah.
Feminine and muscular all at the same time. Beautifully designed miniature. Beautifully designed.
Mm. Andy.
I'm still thinking. I think I'm going to go with the Spire Hunter Horus.
Which one's that one?
He's the one that looks like a tin can. Muscular one.
Oh, yeah.
The punchy piece.
Yeah. Beautiful miniature. I will say, just before we get to the other guys' favorite miniatures, there is something, just like the plastic miniatures are fantastic, resin's beautiful, you know, there is something just so nice about those old metal miniatures. They just had something to them that I just, like, I would never go back to them because the plastic stuff is just brilliant. But there was just something, I don't know, unique, something just you could tell when it was a metal miniature over a plastic one, especially back in the day. But anyway.
Yeah. Usually that's because of the weight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I was having a moment, but you ruined it. Yep.
I'm sorry. I'll just go get my 10 kilos of metal models back out and we can start playing with them again.
Yeah.
If only. Yeah. Nedley?
I actually love the Apollos Cage and Crotus Hux casts. They are some great models. They're pretty generic, which is great because you can end up using them in any game, but they look fantastic. I've got a few other ones there, like I love Yarumba and the Deserter. That's another sculpt that to me is just absolutely hitting home. But the thing is, they're all just base humans on the planet. And I love that look of the base human, how they make, you know, even just the Hive Scummer models look fantastic.
Yeah.
I think I'm drawn in to those ones just because it's like, if I was there, that's realistically probably what I would be, is just one of those basic ones trying to make myself look bigger and better than I really am.
So you've only named seven different models. You can reckon you can narrow it down to one of seven.
What's your favorite model? Literally the entire modern range.
All right, Apollos Age. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, sick choice. He's currently a sergeant in my Bad Zone Enforcers. But I'm actually going to go old school with the model there and Karloth Valoi. It's one miniature I wish I'd gotten a hold of somehow. I managed to have parts of him, but I never had the whole thing. And it's the staff, the oversized las pistol on just this tiny old man. I just think it was just that classic, just horrible, dingy look to him. Without doubt, I think he's probably my favorite miniature of the entirety of the Necromunda range, followed closely by the original Clovis the Redeemer. Oh,
yeah. Oh, yes, that was such an awesome model.
Can I just say a couple of special mentions, then, since Ned was going on about a couple? There's a couple that I did forget about, and the Slopper, the one that you can get from Forge World, brilliant.
The big boy with the sushi. Yes,
brilliant miniature. I bought that miniature just to own that miniature. That's how much I thought it was a beautiful sculpt. And the other one is the Ratskins from back in the day. The amount of character in those miniatures.
Yeah.
You felt like you're on their level on the tabletop, the way they were skulking around and so forth.
We're talking the originals, not the ones that come out through the mail order. You know, the ones where you can put all the different hands and stuff on them.
Yeah,
the original,
the Fanatic, was it?
Yeah, Fanatic. Yeah, the Fanatic ones.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, the original. There was something about the scout with the
shotgun.
I believe it was an auto gun, and he was calling out to someone. He had the hand pulled up to sort of call. Oh, yeah, they were sick.
Yeah, just brilliant miniatures. But this is a part of the hobby that gets me every single time is finding brilliant miniatures and just like the sculpts. That's probably where I get suckered into all GW stuff the most, is finding really awesome miniatures. That's my thing. But anyway, continue on. What was the next question we had?
Well, that's basically it for sort of the introductions of us. And I guess just telling people what we're going to be doing here. Sort of episode by episode, we want to focus on a different facet of Necromunda and its background, whether it be the history of the planet, whether it be one of the house gangs, one of the secondary gangs, the current ones and those of the past. So I don't want to just talk about the things out now, Slave Ogrins, Corpse Grinder Cults, those sort of things, as well as our known house gangs. I want to also bring up those factions from the past there, be the Ratskins, the Spirers, Muties and Scavies, and basically so someone who maybe doesn't know as much about Necromunda as they want to, who might not know anything, might just better grab on to a single episode and say, hey, this might be 60 minutes of just information that just might help me understand my gang a little bit better.
Not just that, it gets people looking into the history and that a little bit more too, and looking at some of those older models and going, God, this was cool.
Yeah, yeah. And inevitably, we're going to get into an episode about the Arbites, and someone's going to call them Arbites, and I'm just going to quit.
Arbites.
I had to bite my tongue.
Cool, Scamuel's off the podcast. Let's move on.
But yeah, that's a pretty brief outlook of who we are, what we're looking at doing. And we're 25 minutes into episode zero.
So we've already had one cast member quit.
Yeah, well, if anyone can think of anything else to say there.
No.
It was nice knowing you.
It was. Thank you for the one episode I'm going to be doing here.
No, well done.
And Guys, that will be us for the evening. Thank you very much to most likely all three people who listen to this. My mum, my kid, and my
she's not listening.
Wife.
No, she doesn't care. Will.
She's not listening. To
she's
her,
not
mate.
Listening. She's not listening.
No, not by she... choice, at least.
I'll play it in the car. She can't jump out then.
Hey, that'll give you an excuse to drive up here. You can listen to a couple of episodes on the way. She's got no option.
It's one episode on repeat, buddy. And that was episode 0 of Underhive Lawkeepers. Please tune into our next episode, A Brief 10,000-Year History, where we dive into the history of the planet and how it became the setting for the game we know and love. I am Spamiel, and on behalf of the Lawkeeper team, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, complaints, corrections, or just good old-fashioned chain letters, please reach out to us at underhivelawkeepers@gmail.com. Thanks.